Yeah.
As it was.
It is.
Let's call this meeting order at 5:45. And we'll do roll call. John Gacy, absent. Wilma Kominek here. Stacy Kirkland.
But you can't, I'm here.
But I know we have to hear.
Jason, do you hear me now?
Yes. Okay. And Randy Collier
is absent.
Absent. Hey, we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Does anybody need the flag on the screen? Okay, hang on a second. It's gonna take me a second to share it. Here it is. We're seeing it now.
Okay. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, stop sharing. Okay, approval of the agenda.
I make an approval of the agenda.
I second.
Okay,
so that was Jason and Stacy.
All right, consent agenda.
Wait, you want to take a vote?
Oh, I'm sorry. All in favor to approve the agenda as written?
Aye.
Sean absent. We have to do it by roll. Sean absent. Wilma, aye. Stacy?
Aye.
Ethan?
Aye.
Randy absent. Okay, consent agenda. Any questions, comments?
Do we need to approve it?
Yeah.
Okay, I move to approve the consent agenda.
Okay. All in favor by roll. Sean absent. Wilma, aye. Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
Aye.
Randy absent. Public comments. There's no one at this location. Anyone at any other locations? Okay. Moving on to the reports then. Does any board member have anything to report? No. Okay. Executive Director's report.
Well, I submitted mine in writing. It's an incredibly busy time. Yeah, it's very busy. I did want to ask the board members, there is a conference coming up in November by the Charter School Development Center, of which we're members. And they have a track now for board members to learn more and see what's going on. I'm excited to go because they have a lot of leadership kinds of sessions. And then they have some sessions where Eric Premack, who's the head of the organization, he'll always do an update, a legal update of what's coming, what's happening. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to see, it's being held in Sacramento. Do you know the dates right offhand? I have
the 12th. Let me see. November 13th, 14th, and 15th. So it's a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
So it starts Sunday afternoon and goes through.
I could go if you needed a board member to represent, but no, I would be interested in going.
Everybody could go if they have an interest. So it's really a matter of, do you have an interest? The school obviously will take care of your mileage reimbursement and reimburse you for your hotel. So,
yeah. I'll talk to my husband and make sure he's gone actually that same week. So it's just a matter of being okay with Rebecca, but she's old enough.
Okay.
She's a good kid.
The weather's good. I got to do a roof. I didn't do it with that.
Yeah. Any questions for me from my long list?
I did not have any.
I am going to sign papers on Tuesday for the closing of the Paiute property. It won't close till the 24th.
Yes, I know.
But I'm going to go down to Quincy at the title company and sign the documents so that they're done. And then he's obviously arranging to have the Curex sign.
Yeah, good.
So, yay.
Do I need a sign on that?
No,
okay.
And that's part of the resolution that we're updating tonight. We had done that previously, that you gave me the authority to sign on behalf of the organization for those transactions. And we're just updating it with the new price for Susanville. Okay. All right.
Not yet.
So I did tell her six. So. Right.
So let's move to item D, the program reports from the campus locations, special programs, counseling, adult education, and safety.
You got all those. Aren't they doing a great job of like, there have been kind of a little contest.
Yeah, that's
Stephanie really threw down the
going on here.
Yeah.
I sent her a message and I said, all right, I love it, but now I got to, find one that will fit all my information. So,
yeah, they were really good.
Yeah, I really like having the photos and things too. It's really nice to see the kids. So, nicely done, all of you, really. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep.
I had adult education on there, and there is not a report for adult education this month, because they literally are just getting started this week. So there was nothing to report yet.
Okay.
But they have students, they're enrolling.
Oh, that's good.
The adults. And Jared, do you have one or two? Are you gonna be doing it down there?
I have two kids that are probably gonna sign up, but I'm waiting to enroll them until we actually have everything, all the ducks in a row.
Okay, and did you end up selecting a teacher or staff
member? We're going to get together next week.
Okay.
We're going to talk with both of them, and then next week we're going to do it.
So there's already on the list a couple of students who would come here. So there's a couple teachers who were interested in doing it, and we really only need one at this point. Oh, wow. So they're going to have little mini interviews to figure that out.
Good. And they're having some Thompson Peak also, right?
They have a lot there.
Yeah,
and Westwood. So Jen Kirby lives in Westwood. So she is going over to meet people in Westwood.
Good.
Yay.
Yeah.
We're out there in a good way.
Yes. Okay, let's move to item 7A, the Williams monitoring report for Thompson Peak.
So I included the letter. I'm looking for it in my packet.
God, that was really good. I
And so basically, we had talked about Thompson Peak getting caught up in the Williams Act monitoring because of the number of intern or non-fully credentialed teachers. And so the county had to come out and do a full-on inspection. Stephanie, you want to just tell us some of the things they said or what they saw and where we are so far?
So there was a group of.
Sorry.
You guys can hear me?
Very well.
Speakers off, too. Try one more time.
No, I'll turn mine back on.
I can hear you. You're there.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Sorry. We should just went through hers. There was a group of, I think, five or six folks that came out. And they, first off, they were super impressed with the program that we're running as they walked around. Sometimes it can be a little deceiving from the outside. And as soon as they walked in and like saw what was happening, some of the comments I heard were like, wow, this is a really like, there's a school happening in here, which was really neat to hear them say that. But in the report, there were just a couple minor things that they saw that needed to be taken care of, which was great. And I've already been working to fix them.
What's some examples?
A couple of the things, there were like a couple the cabinets. They had originally been bolted down, but they'd come loose just from time. And so there was a couple of the places they noted, like the floor was a little bit dirty in the front. So we've since then talked to the cleaning folks. The cabinets are all situated again now. There was some Clorox wipes in some of the classrooms out where kids had access to them, probably because of COVID stuff. We had them available. So we've talked about where chemicals need to be stored. And pretty much the big things were related to the building situation and things that we need to fix once the building has been purchased. And so I was very happy with the way that report turned out, and relatively simple to get those things rectified. So if they came back out, we're pretty much good to go.
So Tom Jones is the one that did this report, and he said, that Thompson Peak site visitation revealed a well-maintained and safe school. Minor maintenance and environmental issues were found and are listed below, and just what Stephanie went through, very minor, and they'll cut back out to just confirm it's all taken care of. So
was everybody that did the inspection from the county?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
We had all of the proper materials and curriculum and all of those things were checked out. The teacher piece that we were originally entered into for this is, we're not there either. So it was just those couple things with maintenance and.
But we're in it for at least 3 years, yeah. The monitoring. So
yeah,
regardless of now having the 85% or more fully credentialed.
Good. So they just kind of needed to see what our plan was for these people that aren't fully credentialed.
No, he actually does nothing for the fully credentialed. Like there's nothing they do. The monitoring is about materials and the physical plant.
Oh. Seems kind of odd.
He even thought it was completely odd.
Yeah.
But he said, I'm going to go through the steps.
Yeah.
I'm like, I appreciate the feedback. It's all right.
Yeah, good.
But, so.
Great, okay. So it looks like DMS is on. Yep.
Hi, Genevieve.
Hi. Hello, everyone. Good evening.
Hi.
Yep. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Is it my turn?
Yep. Your turn.
Okay, my turn. All right. Am I able to share?
Yes.
Oh, I hear an echo. Okay. All right. Very good. Well, welcome to the new fiscal year. And financially, this will be your first reflection of how we're doing. And usually around this time, obviously, we're just starting out the year. So this evening's financial will be based on a year to date as of August of 2022. And I trust all of you have had a chance to look at the board packet as far as the financials. So I'll just be pretty much skimming through it and just giving you the highlights. But before I get started, I do want to say that I apologize for all the pages that you're getting this month. There's an awful lot of pages. And the reason for that is starting out the year, we do have a software that have tools that helps us do this, and it was not allowing me to put the three columns, if you will, that you're used to seeing. So we're still working on that, and by the next board meeting, we should have that in place. So for now, it's single pages, but I started out with the consolidated for both schools and then one for each. So basically, let me go ahead and share screen here. So this report is reflecting up to August 31st, and that represents 2 months of the year. So we go based on a percentage as to how much of your budget have you incurred at this point. So 2 months will equal 17%, and you'll see this throughout the report itself. But a couple of highlights before we do that, we just want to remind everyone that, first of all, your revenues, which come from your state and federal segments, they don't flow evenly throughout the year. And experience has told us that the first part of the year, we typically get very, very little. So that's also reflected in your financials, which may cause some, you know, alarm in terms of why is my bottom line the way it is? So we wanted to make mention of that up front. Secondly, in terms of your expenses, it is very common for us to front load the expenses. You know, as we start the school year, typically we see that materials, supplies, and other areas are front loaded, meaning we do the heavier expenses in the beginning of the school year. So there's that unevenness, if you will, between your revenues and expenses. So nonetheless, you are in a very healthy position, as I will show you in a moment. So if we look at the summarized income statement right here, this is what we had projected off of your July budget. This is both schools. You will notice in your revenues that you are only reflecting 7% of what you should be getting, and this is on a cash basis, which means that if in the ideal world, we would expect it to be around 17% because 2 months have lapsed for this year. So that roughly calculates to about another $500,000 that you don't see here. It will come in during the year as the months go by, but right now it is not yet where we would expect it to be as of August overall. By the same token, expenses, like I said, are usually front-loaded, is why you would see higher percentages in certain categories than what you would expect. But overall, you are only at about 11%. And given 2 months total expenses, you would think should be around 17%. So projecting it for the rest of the year looks like you're in pretty good shape and you are in alignment with your proposed budget. And this is for both schools. As we proceed with the different schools individually, you will see similar activity there. This is Long Valley. We have only received 8% of what we would expect for this time frame, and our expenses are running close to 11%. So therefore your expense is a little over than what we would think, but it is under the 2 months average that we would tend to see. So once again, doing pretty good there. As we go into Thompson Peak, it's almost a mirror of Long Valley with 5.52% of your revenues that have come in. Expected should be 17, but that will come in future months. And your expenses are roughly the same as what you have seen previously, sitting at about just under 12%. So definitely under the 17 that we would expect or have projected for these 2 months. As you proceed through the rest of the pages, these are the details of each of the line items. So you can basically take a look and see where are the areas over, under, based on budget. And I won't take the time to go through them necessarily, unless you have specific questions. But this is a detail reflecting the combined two schools. And here's the detail for Long Valley on its own. Same numbers, just in the standard line items that you would expect to see. And likewise with Thompson Peak. I would like to take this straight to the PASH mode to give you an idea as to where we stand right now. And once again, Long Valley is in a very healthy position cash-wise. This is both schools combined. And based on where our activity is, the first 2 months are actual dollars. The rest of the months is what we project it to be. So as you can see, the revenues here will eventually flatten out. And then our expectation will be that we will receive all of it, obviously by the end of the year. And with that, we are looking at an overall about 333 days of cash, which translates to around 90% of your expenses. So very, very good, healthy position.
Healthy position.
Yes, yes.
Have we projected what it'll be once we do the purchases?
Yes.
Of the building?
Yes.
The purchases are reflected here for what we have budgeted. So here's your budget right here.
Okay.
And what we do is we flow it out throughout the year saying, okay, this is where we think it's going to happen. And in the end, the numbers equal what the budget is.
So, no, I'm talking about for the building purchases.
Oh.
I wanted to know that too.
I gave you my answer. It's not reflected there.
Yeah, it's not going to be here.
It's
but
not. Okay. Yes. I didn't think so.
I'm going to touch on that in just a moment. Right here, let's see. That's both schools. And just quickly, this is for Long Valley. You're seeing the same kind of thing, 331.63 cash on hand days. And for Thompson Peak, again, right about the same number. So very good, healthy cash position. And the remainder of your packet is reflecting where all of your different assets and liabilities are in the same three categories, being first consolidated, and then Long Valley by itself and Thompson Peak by itself. So the question is in regards to the purchase itself. And I heard someone say not yet, and that is absolutely correct, because the budget back in July did not have those numbers reflected yet. However, in the next month to 2 months, roughly, Sherry and I will be working on the first interim budget, in which a number of things will be reflected in there, including the purchase that you had just questioned. In addition to that will be the additional one-time funds that's around the corner that we expect to get for this year. And that will also be a part of the first interim budget, which you will see once that is completed.
Any questions? So right now there's over $3 million in cash. So laying out the extra $200,000 in the one case, the extra, what was it, $220,000 somewhere for the Doyle project, what will be over what our budget was, that will take, a year and a half before we're having to lay all that out. Mm-hmm. So it'll be spread out. It's not one big chunk of profit.
And with that many days cash on hand, it doesn't sound like it's going to hurt at all whatsoever. That's what I was looking at. Okay.
I was too. I wanted to make sure that we were going to still be in that good position with cash on hand.
The first thing I did was call Genevieve to explore that before last board meeting. And then USDA required fiscal information as of the same date, so that they could verify we were in a good cash position. Otherwise, they wouldn't have approved us to go forward.
Yes, and these are the same financials that USDA did look at as they were going through that process.
Now we just need to really carefully consider if there is a recession and the state's payout is less, we're going to try to do our best to reserve as much cash as we can to get us through future years.
The state wants us around 60 days cash on hand. Isn't that the typical number?
What is the typical number, Genevieve, that they...
I don't know what the typical number is, but I also do know that 60 is about the number that you don't want to go under.
Right. And we're at 300 and some change on both of them.
Right.
So if you're at 60, it's still okay, but probably should, you know, have the antennas up and be mindful of activity in your cash.
Well, if a recession does happen, will the state look at our 300 and something days in reserves and say, hey, they don't need money? Is that something that could?
Yep. Definitely not.
Okay.
They're still going to pay per ADA to the school. They don't reduce it because you have done well with saving your cash.
I just know what the state's going to do.
That's correct. Any other questions?
Okay. Thank you.
If not, Genevieve. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye.
Okay, so we're on item 7B, the multi-tiered system of support and the fidelity integrity assessment results.
Thanks for not tripping over that. You did well. So you know, both schools got a $50,000 grant to spend over 2 years for the purpose of really looking at our systems and what we can do to keep improving academic achievement for students. So it starts with this little survey and goes from there.
So Sherry and I sat in on a meeting where they walked us through and it asks a bunch of questions with a bunch subtopics. And so we are in a good place for some of the sections, and then we are gonna focus on, my computer just locked up, some areas we're gonna pick. We've picked two items for both schools that we'll focus on, even though we're doing a lot of these other things. Our main focus will be employee evaluation or personnel evaluation, which is something we've been talking about updating anyway. So this is a good push in the right
And you direction. Might wonder how that's related to increasing academic instruction, but as we identify, you know, we say that we want students to know their current level of understanding and know what they're learning today. That's what we go in the classrooms then and look for. And that's part of the teacher's evaluation to make sure that the things as a school that we want to see for improving academic achievement are there.
And then the second area, it will be data-based decision-making for social emotional needs. We have our student success course. We do different surveys throughout the year. LCOE has a new quick survey that we can send out a couple questions at a time to students, families, teachers to get a quick snapshot of where kids are at emotionally, so that we can make sure that we have the correct supports in place, or if we need to improve in one area, add more, and go from there. So we'll be meeting a few times a year, I assume, and
we are
going through.
Right.
There is a course that some of us are enrolling in that will go through different areas. I've heard a few people have already jumped in. A couple people at the Susanville site have said great things about it. So I have not had a chance to go through with a deep dive, but they've already started sharing some resources through our team's messaging system. And so we have a few teachers, paras, leaders at each location that'll go through this course to get more information and go from there.
We just asked for volunteers to take that course. And we did get people from each location willing to do that. Did we get any paras, Stephanie?
Mm-hmm. One of the paras is the ones who shouted it out today.
You want to tell Stacy?
We have four paras that are taking it.
Okay.
There's four.
Hearing you fine through Stacy's microphone.
Oh, okay, perfect. So there's four paras taking it as well as myself. So there was some, like Whitney said, there was some good feedback from one of the paras that has started in the program. So three pairs and myself.
Thank you. Item C, conflict of interest policy, the biennial review for Lassen County.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lassen County requires us to take a look at our conflict of interest. I looked through it. I don't see anything that needs to be updated. We updated it, I think, in 2018. So it's not far enough out of date to have to do an update. When I looked through the job positions on what would be considered a conflict of interest, nothing's changed. So it's not like we have to add another position or. So it's just an opportunity to review it at this point. Actually, it was revised May 9th. 2019.
So we just review it and reply to them.
So I would come back and say the board didn't want to make any changes and yeah. It's still as it stands.
Perfect.
Okay.
The updated coach guidelines.
Mm-hmm. And so this is just a thing that's always been done this way. It's not in writing anywhere. Coaches for the middle school sports league that pretty much Susanville and Doyle participate in the Lassen County Middle School League. And we've always had teachers be the coaches. And guess what? Our teachers are kind of burnt out. They're tired and burnt out. And we've actually had some paras who stepped up and said, I'm willing to do it. If you're willing to pay us, I'm willing to do it. So I went through, I contacted the county to see if there was any reason we couldn't, because it's always been done that way. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, absolutely. You can use anybody you want. You can use a volunteer, a classified staff, you know, as long as you follow your rules for fingerprinting and all that kind of thing.
And we actually pay the coaches?
Mm-hmm. Well, teachers get stipends. So on our salary schedule, we have a stipend schedule. So it's been, you know, based on the number of practices and the estimated hours, there is a stipend for the coaches. And what we said for people that are classified, they would get their regular hourly rate. And for anybody that's a para here, right, they're going to end up with some overtime hours if they've already put in their 8 hours here.
But coaches that are not teachers actually get paid if they step up, or?
We have not had that circumstance yet.
You're talking like volunteers, Jason?
Right. Yeah. I was like just curious. Or something? Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because, like, well, John Combs has nothing to do with us, but he's the coach of the Hurlong football team. I'd say if we had a parent that wanted to step up in one of our sports programs, is that something that they get paid for?
So if just we curious. Pay, they would have to become an employee.
Gotcha. That's
how okay.
Right.
IRS is very particular on that.
It would have to be something that they could be paid 1099 to rah-rah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious how that
yeah, works. No, I had to think that through. Like, why not? But that would be.
Well, like a chess coach, for instance, because we don't have the chess program going, does it necessarily have to be a teacher?
Do we not have the chess program?
So with the chess program, what we've done in the past is that has been an aid. The aid has been, but they're right here and we're right here. With the sports, the issue is they travel with them. So that's kind of the difference with chess club. So we've always used pairs with chess club because all of the certificated are here.
Okay.
And then when they went to their meet, we usually send a certificated.
Right.
So okay. That's the difference. But with sports, they're going to Hurlong to use the gym to practice, and then they're also going away to games.
Right.
So that's always been the difference with the two.
Okay.
So I just wanted to bring up that we're able to do that, and we're going to start to do that because we really want our students to participate where they're interested.
Absolutely.
Especially when we're going to have a new gym.
Right.
Yes.
There won't be an issue though, because we can practice and have Sundays.
Yeah, true.
There, they'll be the same.
Okay, so the update on the real estate transactions.
So I already talked about it during my report of when it's closing. I'm so excited. We're going to close the 24th. Stephanie and her staff have been talking about, a celebration. And they have a date picked out to do ribbon cutting with an ice cream social. And
when's that?
When is it, Stephanie?
Oh, I keep forgetting you can hear me over there. I want to say that we're going to talk about it tomorrow at our PLC, but I think I said just November 14th, or I'll let you know for sure. But I want to make sure everybody can be there because it's very exciting for all of us.
Yeah,
Please
share the date. It'll be nice. Yeah,
absolutely. It's our plan to know tomorrow.
Can I ask is he cleaning out all his stuff from the gym? Do we get the gym when we purchase the property, or are we just buying the church?
We're buying the whole thing, all the property, the gym, everything.
So he's going to have his stuff out.
I think the majority of it is out. We've seen, Stephanie has seen them.
They were here again. They've been there a lot, so I think they're
good. I just wanted to know if we're going to get that. I mean, not that it's very usable right now, but.
Right. So part of the deal with USDA is that we have to put a no trespassing sign on the gymnasium right now.
Mm-hmm. And lock up those stairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What I will be proposing is that we have to do the ADA repairs to the actual church school building.
Mm-hmm.
We do that over the year because USDA has given us a year, which is great. To not require it before we're using it is wonderful. And then at the point that we finish that, let's get some estimates, see what it'll take to repair the gymnasium, and then make some decisions on what we're going to do with it.
Yeah.
So this year we're not talking about it.
The other thing on the what needs to be fixed, there's a couple tile roof there. It says something about a roof on the report, the facilities report. Is that going to be fixed, or does he have to fix that, or is that something we'll just take on? We're buying it as is.
We're buying it as is.
Okay.
Yep. And I just want it as quickly. He agreed to the closing date. They were like, what? But they agreed to it. So
get it over.
Get it done. Get them out of there before they change them.
Did they not think that we would come back with the extra money?
He thought it was kind of over, that we were just going to lease the building and he would sell it to someone else.
I think he just thought, oh, well, they're not going to come up with it. I'll just sell it to somebody else for more. Well, but no, we're still on the hook here. I don't think he was ready for that. I really don't.
Well, good. Good. Then he was surprised a little bit. I'm sorry.
He was surprised.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
And November 18th at 4 p.m. is what we're looking at.
One more time.
November 18th.
Good. That's my Susanville day anyway.
Maybe. I did that on purpose.
Thank you.
The Sherry's off the call to find out.
And then the other report said they had to do soil tests here.
Right.
Is that going to?
So that's been done. Didn't they come out and do the soil test?
Oh, okay. Yeah. They were out there. So that's Friday. Not going to change the schedule or anything.
Oh, they had to do another soil test? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
At the site location. So when the soil test was done at the beginning of the flight, at the beginning of our journey, it was a while ago. We were planning to build
over here. Oh, that's right. So now that we had a different spot, they had to make sure that the soil compaction would be fine and that kind of thing. So
yeah. Good. Okay.
Yep. On our way, I've been talking to the interim financing people on that. And like there's three more documents that the attorney is reviewing still for us from Modern Construction. She wanted to really go through the phase one and phase two agreement. So that is being reviewed in detail and expect to have it any day.
Good. Okay, next, the test scores report. That must be Whitney. Yes.
Okay. So in the pack, we have a new system that we send all of our data to, and they are able to compile all of the graphics that were included for the state testing results. So the circle reports.
Are you able to put it up on the screen, or you want me to?
If you can, I'm not connected to.
Oh, okay.
I'm not on Zoom. I could hop on really quick.
No, that's all right. Things are there. So they are seeing, and I'm sorry, you're not. I don't know how I can move it. Do you have a copy of it on yours?
I do. Okay. Yeah.
So this is the Long Valley one.
Right. So looking at Long Valley, so we have our overall ELA and math scores. So the gray is, so the darkest gray is standard not met, and that's unfortunately where the majority of our kids are falling. In ELA at 43%, and then 32 are in that standard nearly met, so kind of the next level up. The blue is where we want the kiddos to be, and so with that we're at about 25% for met or exceeded the standards for Long Valley. So that's our Doyle and Portola kiddos, third through eighth and 11th graders.
And you can see in those columns, right?
Right. And then the interior piece, the columns, it's a grade breakdown. So we have third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and 11th. So it shows where we're at. And then math is,
yeah,
even more, it's not pretty. You know, there's no way to sugarcoat this.
Yeah, I was curious to that, because my daughter was, she's in that dark gray, and she's very good at math. I said, well, I don't understand. Was there a test that did she just...
Well, and so
this is one test.
Right, this is one test, and unfortunately, it was still the abbreviated test this last year. So for your kids, they only get the overall score. We're not getting the domain breakdown. So we can't even then pull, okay, well, she is struggling in geometry or, you know, whatever the subsections are. I'm hoping this year we'll be back. The kids won't be happy, but I'm hoping we'll be back to the full-fledged test.
So is that because of COVID? That. And so when looking at these scores, can you tell, I mean, it looks like those younger kids are really struggling a lot. I mean, everybody is, but really those third and fourth graders, do you think that's because of COVID and just how they've had to do school for the last few years?
Have taken the test.
Yes, and it's also the first few years that they take the test. And so there's a lot of factors that go into it, but we are able to dive deeper into the data. We're just giving you kind of the general overview, but Sarah actually attended a webinar yesterday where they showed us a cool walkthrough that we can see some more specific info. So we can start targeting, okay, for example, writing is a huge area that our kids are struggling with across the board, according to the test results. So now, knowing that we can dive deeper into this other system, we're going to start pulling information. Okay, for third graders, here are the, you know, areas that they need to hit, so we can target those skills to hopefully.
So I've talked to some hiccups.
Perfect. Thank you. And so Thompson Peak, very similar.
the percentages are slightly different, but overall we're
similar.
It's it's a similar situation, and it's just, it's hard to look at, and you know, the more resources we find, it seems like the worse information we get, but it's what I'm going to take from it is we know now where we need to hit, you know, and really target those skills, and we are implementing a lot of things that we are hoping to see these increase in the right direction.
So I'm going to stop you from using the word hoping.
We are going to.
What I will say, and we got some pushback for this, we said that a student who is below grade level in their testing must do our iReady practice in whichever or both subjects. So even all the independent study, and we did that from first through 11th, Jared, nod your head if that's right. First grade through 11th grade, if they show up on their iReady for these kind of tests below grade level, they need to do 15 minutes per day, 4 days a week, maybe in both subjects or in one subject if they're below grade level. In addition to that, we, you want to talk about some of the targeted work that's being done?
So each, I've met with each site leader and we've gone through their students' data to then pick out the kids that are needing a higher level of support other than that daily iReady time. So we have some different programs that the kids are starting, working in small groups, working with a para, a teacher on those skills that they're struggling with. We have a few online options to connect kids with reading specialists. We're getting that going. And then some other targeted reading intervention programs. Math, we're still trying to find another online option that is suited to our needs. There are programs out there, but require a lot of teacher-led instruction, and we need something that is, we need teacher-led and something that the kids can do kind of on their own, especially those independent study kiddos who don't want to come on site all the time, so they can do something at home too.
And the other thing we've gotten some pushback on, just so you know, is requiring students to be on the campuses and the independent study locations. But we put, it's in the handbook, and it says if you're below grade level, you will be maybe required to come onto campus for direct instruction. So that's happening at both campuses where there's English classes and math classes going on.
So do we know how we've done compared to other, not that we need to compare, but to know, are our kids, is it a struggle across the board, or is it something that we're doing? So like if you took the county, would the county scores be similar?
We don't have that level of data yet. They're still working on
the state hasn't released it. So while we have access to our own data, right, we don't have everybody else's yet, like statewide.
I mean, right? I have a suspicion that everybody is struggling or the majority, but I don't have the data to support that. So once we get that information, I will bring an update for you.
And part of what, why we are using this system with the blue and gray data is because they're going to be able to tell us at what level do students come to us. So, and did we move them up? So even though our scores are less than stellar, if we get a student who's coming to us three grade levels below their current grade, we want to know that and show that we moved them so that they're just one grade below. They're still not meeting the standard, but we moved them, you know, help them make progress.
I would like to know how we compare statewide. I mean, if that,
well, statewide, I'm going to tell you, we're below. We are definitely below statewide. Countywide, we're probably a little bit below.
Okay.
Furlong, we beat them all day.
Well, no, that's apples and oranges, but I would like to know how the rest of the county is doing in comparison to it. It's just interesting data. Not that it's a competition, but, you know, I'd like to know where we stand compared.
But it is.
I got to get things. But it is. I don't want to make it sound right. Like it, but
that's where they're going to hold us, you know, is that state level. And so we do need to see where we compare so we know.
And we have to be showing progress. Right. To be able to renew, we have to be able to show progress. So that's what this is about.
And is it possible that the influx of students coming from Hurlong that's so far behind that are registering here brings us down even further?
You betcha. I mean,
is that data available as well?
So
as far as the,
No.
As far as when they show up compared to, you know.
So until they take the CAS and we see what those scores are at the end of the year again, then we have some information to compare.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So we've done a, you know, everybody took their first iReady test, which you have scores also in your board packet. And they students will take iReady tests again, December, January timeframe. The plan is that, so every student is in a teacher's Excel document where they can see what their scores were from CAS, what their scores were from the first iReady. And they need to see that what they're doing is having a positive effect, that those students are making decent growth. And if they're not, let's stop doing what we've been doing and find something else to do. You know, we need to step it up. Because now we have a few months before our next test, you know, before the CAS, to really show some improvement.
And is the format of the testing, is that something that our students are familiar with? Or when they take the tests, is it like, I've never done anything like this before?
They are familiar with it. They don't like it. It's to them, for a lot of our kids, they see it, it's super overwhelming. They see a lot of words, they see long reading passages, and they just shut down. So that's part of what we need to look at too, is how to help the kids dissect that information and how to make it less stressful and not just give up after, you know, in their writing section, if they have to write a 5-paragraph essay, some kids are writing 2 sentences. So, you know, trying to get that level of you know, participation up. And
is it still broke down? They have the multiple choice and they have the performance task, and a performance task is always very it's more critical thinking, and so they always really struggle with that section. Performance task is always challenging for those kids.
And is the testing online? The
kids take it online. It's all computer based, which allows a lot of embedded supports that help our students. So especially some of our kids with disabilities, they can have things read to them, or they can change the font, they can change the color, where we would have to manipulate each document for those kids.
And they're doing the iReady testing, so they're learning how to use a mouse and take a test online. Yeah,
right.
And before the test, before the state testing, students do a practice test of the state test, so that they've seen it once and worked their way through it, where they can ask questions and get help.
Is this something we could do an iReady quiz once a month? To not the big one, to where it's a whole bunch at one time, but just a short little quiz that they could do once a month?
They do have
Like monitoring. Little mastery checks that can be done.
Right.
We don't do the full diagnostics except for those windows, because then the kids are really going to tune out and just
There are short ones that go out regularly.
Okay, there are,
because we're looking to see, have you mastered that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, that's already in place.
That's in place. Yeah, that's part of the software deal. Is it can do that.
Yeah.
The teachers can go into each student and see their progress and see where they're struggling, and give them
additional. Because in the teacher, their responsibility is to be teaching the grade level material.
Right.
The iReady practice part takes them with what they're missing.
Well, I still think it's going to take a couple of years to get out of everything that the kids went through during COVID and not being able to come to school and not be face-to-face in person.
And I think the level of stress and the level of stress that students are demonstrating, you don't learn when you're stressed.
No.
So there's still a lot of them are not recovered.
Yeah.
And that's why on the MTSS, we're looking at studying that area of what we can do to help identify when kids are under stress and support them. And, you know, Misty's really taken on the project big time for the leader in me. Our success course, our student success course is what we've called it. And there are writing assignments and it's talking about character and what.
Yeah, well, and it's just helping them. They're writing every week. They have lessons on social emotional learning. I mean, they're talking about being proactive, your language, how to communicate with others. Like, it's all in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are actually really liking the learning. At least at this site. I'm not sure.
And one thing Sarah and I noticed, or she pointed out to me today when we were looking at some information, they're graded on conventions. So capitalization and punctuation on the state testing. I was not sure if that was in some of these sections, but there's a way that we can break that down. So at some point I'd like her to share it with all of the leaders so we can see it. But I went, oh, that's a huge, so we struggle in that because
because they use computers,
right.
So they don't do that anymore. The computer corrects it for them. So
right.
The grammatical stuff is definitely,
right.
You know, and so with the student success course that we're using, they don't do that on the computer per se. A lot of them have journals that they're actually doing the writing in. So, but that is an area that the writing is rough for kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to teach.
Okay. Correspondence, the letters from Elko approving the LCAPs.
Yeah, from Lassen County Office of Education.
Okay.
Approved the LCAPs, and I just wanted to see in writing that they signed off on them. They do ours last. They are required to do the districts. They're not required to do the charters. Your authorizer is required to review yours, but the county takes it on for the authorizers. So it's the last ones they do. So
as long as they do.
They do. And it's helpful.
Yep. Okay, moving on to the action items. A, discussion of possible action regarding approval of the updated salary schedule for non-certified sports coaches.
Non-certificated, classified. Yeah, that's sorry, right.
Non-certificated. Any questions or discussion?
I'll move to approve.
All in favor by roll. Sean absent, Wilma, aye. Stacy.
Aye.
Jason.
Aye.
Randy absent. Item B, discussion and possible action regarding approval of updated organizational chart with additional position for Doyle para educator / clerical support and coaches.
I'll move to approve if there's no discussion.
I'll second. All in favor by roll, Sean absent, Wilma, aye, Stacy,
aye,
Jason,
aye,
Randy absent. Item C, discussion and possible action regarding approval of K-12 Strong Workforce Grant for 2023 through 2025.
I motion to approve a little bit, hear a little more about it.
Somebody want to second it, and then we can.
I'll second.
So we took a strong workforce grant to build our construction program, allowed us to buy a truck, get equipment, get books, and that sort of thing. We did not submit one last year, but we wanted to submit one this year for mental and behavioral health pathway. We found a college in the Valley that offers a program that actually, if the student does the whole program, so they have all college courses that they'll take, if they do that program, they get a certificate which allows them to start working upon finishing school once they're 18.
Wonderful.
In that, they can be an intern somewhere. And I just think that our county is so low on those kind of workers that we could be part of the solution of starting to generate folk. So students could take a shortened version and still finish a CTE pathway. But for those we can really support and help, we're going to really try to get them to get some certificate so they can go right to work. And then all the colleges have AAs that it transfers to. So it's like 18 credits. Those 18 credits go toward an AA. And then, of course, that can lead into a bachelor's. So that's what we're doing. What the monies would be for is to set up rooms where the video instruction from the college. So the college is providing the videos of their teacher teaching it. But I don't want our students on their own. This is really rigorous work.
Yeah.
So I want each location to have a space where we have good equipment, you know, a big TV and projection equipment, sound equipment. Just really trick it out and make sure the students have everything they need and hire someone who will be on campus with them, watching together in the room to help them.
That's awesome.
Interesting.
You said it's an 18 credit course. Is that what I heard you say?
To get the certificate, it requires 18 credits. So it's 6 3 credit courses. So we're going to try to get kids to start like even in ninth grade so they can just do a course a semester.
Okay.
Got to vote on that.
Any more questions?
I motion to approve that.
You did already. Okay,
you did already. So all in favor by roll. Sean absent. Wilma, aye. Stacy,
aye.
Mason,
aye.
Randy absent. Item D, discussion and possible action regarding approval of appendix to the July 1st, 2021 agreement for the college and career partnership with Butte Glen Community College District.
So this is just renewing what we're doing with Butte College for the construction one that we've been working with.
Yeah, I'll make the motion.
Also.
Any questions, Stacy?
Oh, no questions.
All in favor by roll. Sean absent. Wilma, aye. Stacy,
aye.
Mason,
aye.
Randy absent. Item E, discussion and possible action regarding approval of community schools program needs assessment proposal with Thrive. I'll make a motion.
Can we have a little bit of, I read through it, but it was like a lot. So can you break it down for us a little bit?
Bet. So we got a $200,000 grant. We just keep collecting all this money to do projects for the purpose of developing a community school program that can only happen here because it's only geared for classroom-based charters or schools. They would not allow it for the hybrid independent study programs. So, you know, but we got $200,000 to be able to hire a person. Part of that grant that we wrote was to hire an outside firm to come in because everyone says, well, just do partnerships with organizations in your community. And of course, I think, what do we have to choose from here? So I think it's especially important to bring somebody in to help us really analyze what's here, come up with ideas. We've hired
Janice Gocher
for this position. She's going to work 3 days a week for us. She will do outreach to parents, work on planning parent events, education, whatever we determine is appropriate for what the Doyle community needs. And this group from Thrive will work directly with her to really do that work. And that'll help Janice understand what community school program is about.
Perfect.
So this will only last for the, well, we have the grant money.
The grant money is a 2-year grant.
Okay. So it's basically a 2-year.
But they've been saying, the state has been saying that they want to have some kind of continue money. Mm-hmm. This is a bigger chunk of money at this point so that you can really plan and do like paying outside organizations. And then once you get it rocking and rolling, it looks like it'll be a smaller amount per ABA.
And this will help her with the FRC and everything. This is a win-win-win.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And that's what we said. You know, at some point, like I think a partnership could happen with the Family Resource Center.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any more questions or discussion? All in favor by roll. Sean, absent. Wilma, aye. Stacy.
Aye.
Jason.
Aye.
Randy, absent. Item F, discussion and possible action regarding approval of resolution number 2022-23-01 for signatories on the USDA and the RCAC loans and grants. I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Any discussion or questions? All in favor by roll. Sean absent. Wilma, aye. Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
Aye.
Randy, absent. Item G, discussion and possible action regarding approval of policy number 1013, staff education assistance. I'll make a motion.
I'll second. I just want to hear
these last two.
Sure, I can tell you about it.
Okay.
You previously approved in the effective educator grant some monies to pay for college, to pay for trainings, for teachers, for paras who want to become teachers. And so what we needed to do, what I felt we needed to do, is really formalize a process and write it down with some parameters and start. We have several paras who have begun the process of working on their bachelor's, which means they become teachers for us. So I want to really encourage that. You got three, yeah. Stephanie? Three.
Woohoo. Wow.
Exciting. Very exciting. Jared has one. Mm-hmm.
That way, so, when the Williams monitor comes around again, we'll have a plan in place.
Exactly. Except they won't be fully credentialed until they do their credential.
Program. Yeah.
So
awesome.
We'll get them there. We'll get them there, right?
Yeah.
This is, I think, a great step
yeah.
in the right direction.
Any questions? Nope. Okay. All in favor by roll. Sean absent. Wilma, aye. Stacy.
Aye.
Jason.
Aye.
Randy absent. Item H, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the updated school safety plan. I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
Yeah, I want to discuss.
Okay.
I want to hear that.
Garrett.
So through going through lots of different trainings on it, we have decided that Run Hide Fight is the most easiest thing for everybody to remember, because Alice, you start adding extra acronyms, and I can't even tell you what it is off the top of my head. So,
butt in for a second. We have a safety plan. We've had a safety plan. What we didn't have is our response to a Uvalde type event. Mm-hmm. We did not have a critical incident. So I just, Jared's helping us understand. So we've changed nothing in the safety plan that you previously approved, but we've added this section. Okay, Jared, sorry.
So the big thing about run, hide, fight is you really have to be the person on the ground to make the decision of what the correct decision is. Because it might be happening in the back of your school, whatever it is, and nobody in the front of your school knows. So you can't just wait for somebody to tell you what to do. So it's really empowering everybody to make that decision at the time that they become aware of something. Every site had their own little tweaks. So you'll see they're just three slightly different things. And then we also created rally points for where students could meet up if they have to, flee the scene.
So Jared, we don't have a copy of that page from there. Those pages that are, can you bring them up on the screen, Sharon?
Okay.
So while he's looking for that, each location has run through multiple scenarios with all those things. What if there's somebody in the front? What does everybody do? Right. And just running through different locations that someone who is threatening students and staff, where would they go? How would that look? So they did a lot of walkthroughs, did a lot of talking about it. We're waiting to see our parent committees, our advisory councils, because we want their input on doing student scenario run-throughs. We're not going to have anybody scaring the heck out of the kids, right. But just to let them walk through. Okay, Jared.
Run, hide, flight.
You can remember that, right? Yeah.
So really, it's if you become aware of something, let police know and then share the information out with all of your staff. And then you have to make the decision, is it right to, ideally you evacuate as your first step. Absolutely. If you can safely get away, that's the first best choice. Next is be prepared to hide, lock yourself in a room, however, then you need to prepare to have something, whether it's a fire extinguisher, because every room has them, or, whatever item you could throw at somebody to interrupt their brain, and then fight if it happens. We also came up with how we should respond when law enforcement comes there, so everybody knows what they should be doing.
Ultimately, evacuating is the goal. We're not hiding under desks and letting people shoot. Right. Okay.
But if a shooter came in and made progress to here, obviously there is another exit the kids would run. But if you had a classroom where there wasn't a second exit, you sort of have no choice but to hunker down.
Are the fire extinguishers hanging on the wall and everything?
Yeah, in every space.
There's one right behind you.
That's what I was curious of, where the weapons are.
And so you notice you can't see in. We have things covering doors. So we've been working at making sure we have window coverings, good doors that lock so that they can be locked so the outside somebody can't just walk in. So the fencing here we'll eventually do once we own the property in Susanville, we'll want to do some fencing there and just keep hardening the targets as they phrase that. Jared, what is it next Tuesday?
It is. Or was it Wednesday? Either way, a guy from the Sac County Sheriff who is involved with the, CCIA? the California
Rural Intelligence Agency.
Intelligence Agency is going to come down because so we had had this inspection done on Doyle a few years ago, and now we had it done in Portola and Susanville, and he's going to come and read out the reports and make realistic suggestions that we could, you know, possibly do. So the fencing in Doyle was one of the ones that they're like, you should have privacy fencing, you should have some bulliards out front. There's, you know, a lot of things that you can do on the cheap, well, not cheap, but realistically do.
And so now we get a report out on Tuesday of the results that he's going to recommend for Portola and Susanville.
Are there any scheduled drills for here? As far as
for this active shooter kind of drill?
Yeah.
It is not scheduled yet. That's what I mean. We want to meet with our advisory councils, which will probably be next month, explain to them what we're doing, maybe even walk them through to explain what we would do with the kids and let them give us some feedback, because I really do want parents to be on board before we do a run through.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And to identify the weapons in the room to the kids. So, just to cover all scenarios.
Yep.
And, Stacey, you know, I don't have really little ones anymore, but that would be scary. I mean, I was telling Stephanie, I remember the one where we had, like, all the schools were locked down in Susanville because of that guy, you know, called in a threat. And I mean, the school handled it beautifully, and it was really, they really took care of them, but you know, it's the worst possible thing that could happen to our kids.
I just want to say that students now do the great shakeout where they're doing a drill every year for earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do a fire drill most months. So doing some drills are not, you know, out of the realm. So I think doing one more drill, and it's part of what we need to do, is be very sensitive to how we're conducting it.
Well, if we can get parents in the conversation, that would be great. I mean, I know I've had those conversations with my kids. So, you know, if we can help others with that conversation.
And really, it's going to be about following directions, because a teacher may be directing them to make sure their cell phones are on silent, or line up, we're going out, you know, and just follow directions. So that's a big part of it. I don't think we have to train them to fight, other than let's identify things that we could use in the classroom. We don't have to simulate that, because all of
they might do it when it's not a drill.
Well, no, we don't need to.
No, and all of the drill things that we looked into said the reason you don't really even need to do too much with the kids is because in the face of an emergency, kids are going to get scared, right? Some kind of alarm,
sure,
a problem. And that kids tend to follow, they're used to hearing from their teacher directions, and they're going to follow the directions. So it's more important to make sure that the whole staff knows the plan, because then they can direct the kiddos.
And I think, you know, like the two different age groups too, because what you're directing these to do and what you're directing these to do is very different.
So does the staff get any kind of training, or will that come in the future?
Well, they've had training already.
For this type of, And then is there any interaction with local law enforcement on our different locations for any of it, or how?
That's a funny question.
I imagine that.
Well, I mean, we kind of need to know what they would do, and they need to know what our plan is. So
once we have everything approved, we will share our plan
with it. Yeah.
But the truth is, in every single community, you may be waiting a while for somebody to show up, right?
Yeah. Maybe not super well, Portola, not as bad as here, but
leadership. And I don't know if we've grabbed Stephanie, have done, what's it called, Jared? The kind of incident command training.
No.
From FEMA, so that we know how to turn over an incident.
Who's the IC and turn over to the next IC?
Right.
Well, the struggle with, especially with us, is the turnover rate of deputies. So by the time you get one up to speed, by the time you get them anything, well, they're gone.
But I would assume, maybe this is a bad assumption on my part, but I would assume dispatch or somebody would keep copies of these so that if something really did happen, they could tell the officer, well, here's rally point one, here's rally point two, or whatever. I mean, it wouldn't have to be dispatch is the one who should have copies. You never know what officer's going to be on duty, and
right,
we can't just, I'm guessing. I mean, I don't know how all this works, but.
And we're looking into having a lockbox that law enforcement can have, you know, some kind of master key to, so that a plan and keys for the building are accessible to them. Still digging into that one. Jared, maybe when we're talking to Kevin, is his name, from CCIA, we could ask him about the lockbox idea and what he recommends.
That would be something very secure.
Oh, yeah. Right. Or just how to overcome the issue of turnover, of distance, right? Right.
How, or even to help us understand how that would actually work.
I think when they visited here, they asked that we turn in a master set of keys, which is all great. But then, like you said, when there's turnover like that, how do you know the keys are getting here, right?
I don't see that being an effective.
So our best defense right now is to make sure we all know some steps to do to try our best to protect our students and staff.
Okay. Any more questions or discussion? Okay, all in favor of the updated school safety plan by roll? Sean absent. Wilma, aye. Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
Aye.
Randy absent. So future items will be the updated ESSER 3 plan.
ESSER 3, sorry.
I never know if you actually see it.
Yeah, I know.
So many acronyms.
Yeah.
And I don't think we had any others.
We didn't generate anything.
No.
Our next meeting is December.
We skip out on November. That's on the board calendar. We do our best to not have a meeting in November and in July. So that we actually could have one meeting a year is all we're legally bound to do.
That would be a long meeting.
Yeah.
And you're sleeping bad.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to
call it? Let's adjourn at 7:08. Thank you.
Bye.